Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, we have them available right in front of you. Colossians chapter 1. We'll be starting with verse number 25. As I considered what to preach on tonight, that would best exemplify what pattern a teacher in this dispensation today that we live in should follow, I was drawn to this passage. Look at me at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Paul writes, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." At the end of chapter number 1, Paul explains his ministry. Paul tells us what makes him tick, what turns his crank, what keeps him going in ministry. In the day in which we live, all teachers must know what their mission is and how to accomplish it. Thankfully, we find the answers here in Colossians chapter 1. Whether you're a teacher here at Crossroads or whether you have an opportunity to speak the truth of God's word anywhere outside of the church in some way, whether it's in school or whether it's in college, whether it's at work, whether it's to a family member, whether it's in your neighborhood, these same passions of Paul that we're going to learn of tonight can be and should be yours. In and of myself as a teacher, I have nothing that I can offer you that'll change your life. But as a teacher, I can share something and someone with you that can. And that is the living word, Jesus Christ. And that is the written word, the Bible. But I can only share these truths with you because they were once shared with me. We learn about in the Old Testament that Israel was the country that God chose to work through to be a light to all nations. That way they could come to salvation. But there was a problem. And the problem was Israel as a whole rejected Jesus Christ, God's Son. They did not believe. So God turned his attention from Israel to the whole world, and now God is dealing with you and I directly, with you and I personally, one-on-one, and offering us an intimate, personal relationship with him today and eternal life in heaven in the future through simple faith in what his Son, Jesus Christ, did for us. We don't have to hop on an airplane and travel to Jerusalem and try to get to God through the nation of Israel today. You don't have to go through a priest. You can go straight to God. Israel's loss was our gain. And that's the mystery Paul is talking about here in Colossians chapter 1 that was revealed to him by Jesus Christ. And now Paul is sharing that truth with us today. As teachers, we in turn have the awesome privilege and take what was shared to us and sharing it with others. And Paul calls the riches of this mystery Christ in you. Jesus permanently residing in you through God's Holy Spirit. That's something that nobody saw coming. That's something that's very special that believers in Jesus Christ today, that people in the past did not have. Today we can become one with Jesus Christ the moment that we get saved. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "I am crucified," and what's the next word? "With Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." As a teacher, there is nothing more important than I can tell you than the message about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did for us. Throughout Colossians, Paul shows the completeness of Christ and the sufficiency of what he has done for you and for me. He shows us that what Christ has done is enough. Look with me at some verses that Paul shares with us right here in chapter number 1, verse 13. Paul writes, speaking of Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Go to verse number 20. Paul writes, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. And look with me at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10. This sums it up, and it says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I remember when I clearly started to understand the truth that Paul was teaching here of Christ in me. I stayed after class one day when I was 8 years old in Sunday school, and my Sunday school teacher sat me down and explained to me from the Bible. He showed me how that I've sinned against God, but he still showed me how God still loved me, although I sinned against him. But he explained that that sin separated me from God. And he explained that there's nothing that I could do to make up for my sin. There's nothing I can do to make up for disobeying God and breaking his commandments. He said, on my own, you are doomed, Rich Costanza, to face God's judgment one day for all eternity in hell. But he explained to me that there was more. Because God loved me, and because of what he did for me, he did something that I could never do for myself. Even though I'd sin against him, God loved me enough to send his sinless son to shed his innocent blood on the cross for my sins. He provided a way out of me spending eternity in hell. But by conquering death, by rising from the grave, he provided a way for me to spend eternity in heaven. My Sunday school teacher told me that if God had offered me this, it was my choice to accept it or reject it. And guess what I did? I took it. It was a good deal. Eternal life in heaven, in the future, my forgiveness of sins today. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. But if we believe it, we can have it. But just as it was revealed to Paul, when we believe, we can have an extra bonus. Don't you like extra bonuses? You say, an extra bonus, Pastor Rich, something more than forgiveness of my sins today, something more than a home in heaven in the future? Yes, Christ in you. Christ in you. Something spectacular takes place when you get saved. You have Christ in you. Aren't you glad that God didn't say, everybody that wants to be saved, I want you to run around the block? Now that might sound kind of easy, but some people can't run around the block. Amen? Aren't you glad that God said, anybody that wants to be saved, pay $1,000 to the church? Now some of you could afford $1,000, but some people can't. Some people don't have that. But you know what? There's one thing that anybody and everybody can do, and that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That Sunday after Sunday school class, my Sunday school teacher, after he explained all that to me, I bowed my head and I prayed, and I told God that I believed. It was at that moment that I was delivered, as Paul said, from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, that I receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance in heaven, and Christ in me. The Bible message that Paul gave here in Colossians is what made him tick. That was Paul's main message, and it should be ours too. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, if you look at that verse with me one more time, Paul uses three action words here. And the three action words that he uses are preach, warning and teaching. Preach, warn, and teach. And preach simply means to proclaim or announce, in this case, the truth. And as a preacher, as a teacher, my main task is not necessarily to tell you what you want to hear. My main task is to proclaim the truth. And what a message of truth that we have to proclaim, teachers. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul's message was to proclaim the truth. But Paul also said this, that part of proclaim the truth sometimes came with some warnings. A preacher and a teacher's job is not just to pass on information, but I must urge you to accept it. I must passionately use every bit of energy that I have to persuade you to take it seriously. I must urge you to obey the Bible. I must warn you what will happen if you don't. For instance, if our little Elijah was up on the balcony and Elijah was up at the edge, a small child, and he's leaning forward over that balcony, I'm going to be concerned, aren't I? And in addition to telling him the right thing to do, I'm also going to holler and scream and shout and warn him of what will happen if he doesn't obey, if he doesn't believe me. I'm going to urge him to listen. And as teachers, as Paul said, he preached, but he also warned. Paul proclaimed the truth, and like I said, sometimes with warnings. He did it with a guy named Felix. Pastor Dan shared this passage. I love this. He shared this a few Sunday mornings ago. I have it on the screen behind me. And this is an example of Paul preaching, but using a little bit of warning. In Acts chapter 24, verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Felix was ready to listen, and Paul was ready to preach. And Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. And that word judgment there means damnation or condemnation. And he reasoned with him of the judgment to come. And when he did that, Felix trembled, and he answered and said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Now, Paul must have said something to make Felix start shaking in his sandals. I laugh every time I read this passage because can you picture the scene here? Paul is passionately witnessing to Felix and to his wife, and he's probably speaking of the sinfulness of man and the righteousness of Christ. And then maybe he's going into quoting Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And that means separation from God forever in hell. And then Felix cuts him off and says, okay, Paul, you can go now. We'll talk later. Don't call me, I'll call you. Felix didn't want to hear about that judgment to come. But Paul, here's my point. My point is this. Paul didn't sugarcoat it. Paul was open and Paul was honest about what would happen if Felix did not turn to Christ. Paul preached, Paul warned, and Paul taught. While the Bible is more than just information and facts, it is at least that. There's something to be learned and there's something to be understood. And if you don't understand something, how are you going to believe it? And if you don't believe something, you certainly aren't going to obey it. That's why teaching is so important. Someone's got to share it. Someone's got to explain it so people can hear it, so they can understand it, so they can believe it, and so they can obey it. I want my Bible lessons when I teach my life group to be Bible and Christ-centered. Because if my class doesn't hear about Christ and what it means to know Him, to have Him, to follow Him, then I have not shared with them the most important thing. Paul's method was to proclaim the truth through warning, through teaching, but to who? Paul tells us in verse 28, look at it with me one more time. Paul says, whom we preach, warning, and what's the next word? Every man. Teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul's message was to everyone. Paul understood that his mission was to reach and to teach every person. The message of Christ, the teaching of the Bible, is not just for the rich. It's not just for the poor. It's not just for the young. It's not just for the old. The Bible is for everyone. No one is too bad. No one is too good to receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one is exempt, because there's not a person in this world that's outside the reach of God's grace. It's available unto all, the Bible says, that will receive it, whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, or whether you're an adult. There's a universal quality to the Bible, and that's because ultimately we're all in the same boat. We all need Christ. Look at these verses on the PowerPoint screen that emphasize that need for all or for everyone. And let's read this one together from Romans 3:23. It says, "For all sin and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then look at this one with me, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Paul writes, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Paul's mission field was everyone. But obviously, common sense tells us this. Paul is just how many men? One man. And being one man, Paul could not reach and teach and preach and warn and present every man the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And that's where we come in. That's where we come in. I like in verse 28 how Paul doesn't use the word I. Paul uses the word we. He says, "Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man." We. God's word can't be shared by one man at one time. It needs to be shared by us all the time. Paul's motive for teaching, Paul's motive for preaching is found at the very end of verse 28, where he said that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's what turned Paul's crank. As teachers, our message is Christ. Our method is teaching God's word. Our mission field is everyone. And our motive is to present people perfect in Christ Jesus. When we hear the word perfect, we usually tend to think that that word means flawless, but perfect actually meant growth. It meant mature. And I know that none of us here will ever be flawless or sinless, but after we're saved, we can constantly be growing and maturing in Christ. Amen? And as a teacher, it means helping your people mature in their faith, mature in their character, to reflect the person of Jesus Christ. And be honest with you, many of our teachers here tonight would probably agree with this statement. When you're helping others grow, many times it helps the teacher to grow too. Amen? Because when you're studying, when you're reading, when you're preparing, you tend to learn and you tend to see areas in your life that you need to grow. In the final verse of this chapter, verse 29, Paul reveals what kept him going. Let's look at verse 29. Paul says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working," God's working, "which worketh in me mightily." Paul reveals what kept him going, and he reveals two sides of this equation. He reveals the human side, and he reveals the godly side. Paul gave everything that he had physically to help people. He labored. He worked hard. He used the word striving. And the word striving in that day was a Greek word that compared two wrestlers that were grappling and wrestling with each other. Paul labored. He worked hard. Paul gave everything that he had to help people come to know Jesus Christ, help them to grow in Christ. And ministry is just that. Ministry is work. Ministry requires time. Teaching requires commitment. It requires planning. It requires preparation. It's one of the most sacrificial things that a person can do because it involves giving of yourself to others. We must constantly learn. We must constantly improve. We must constantly plan. But all the human effort in the world is not enough. It's not always easy because sometimes as teachers, there's struggles because we have an enemy out there that wants to discourage us, that wants to make us give up. Satan wants you to forget this one important truth. And if you don't leave with anything tonight, leave with this one truth that Satan wants you to forget. He wants you to forget that you have Christ in you. Christ in you. You have the one in you that gives you the victory. And Paul refers to the divine side of the equation when he said, I strive according to his working, God's working. He speaks of God's power, and that's what makes the difference. We can expend a lot of energy. There are some things, though, that we just can't do alone. We cannot change lives. Only God's Spirit can do that. And that's why teaching must involve God's power, because if it doesn't, it's not going to amount to anything worthwhile. We may accomplish a lot of things through smart, through hard work, but all of this is nothing compared to what God can do if we humbly submit to Him and allow Him to work through us. Look with me on the screen at this cross reference in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul writes, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And let's read the last part of this verse together. It says, "According to the power that worketh in us." That worketh in us. Realize that you are stronger than you think. Not because of who you are, not because of what you can do, not because of what you know, but because of the one who works in you and works through you. Amen. Teachers, in ministry, you will be challenged. In ministry, you can get frustrated. In ministry, you can get tired. Amen? But don't rely on the flesh. Don't rely on others. Don't rely on any outward success in ministry for your joy. If you do, you might be disappointed. The measure of success is not a number. It's not whether you have 5 or 55 in your class. That's why you can't focus on the external. You've got to focus on the internal. The source of your strength, the source of your joy, has to be Christ in you. Not you, but Christ in you. I've learned from personal experience in the last couple years that your flesh will fail, but God's grace will always prevail. Amen? Because when you realize that you can't do it, that's when you allow Him to do it. And that's the power of Christ working in you. Colossians 1:29, His working, which worketh in me. Amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank You for each one of these teachers, assistant teachers, and helpers. Lord, I thank You for their commitment. I thank You for their faithfulness. I thank You for their desire to serve You. Lord, I thank You for their desire to grow themselves and to grow others. But Lord, I pray more than anything that we would allow You to work in us and through us. For it's in Christ's name I pray.